Hi, everybody. I'm Terry Brown. This is Bass Fan Radio. And with me is David Dudley, the million-dollar David Dudley. Just won another tournament in the Northern Opens. David, you got to be happy with that.
Yeah, I'm thrilled for it.
Well, you know, you look back at your career. You've had a great career. And, you know, every angler, as they grow in their fishing career, kind of changes some things, does some things differently. You know, one of the things that we know about you right now is the fact you've kind of changed your practice patterns.
Yeah, I've adjusted that a little bit more, especially on pattern lakes. You know, you can only practice a pattern that's happening on a lake but so much. And what I've learned is that once you've established a pattern that's going to be continued throughout the tournament, there's no need in continuing that practice of that pattern, because what will happen, and I've been caught up in it in years past, you end up, say, like in this past tournament, I was on a dock pattern. Granted, I could go around and just visually and instinctively say, okay, that dock fits what I'm looking at. And you go right over there and you fish it and you catch one. This is during practice, and you go over to another one that looks good and you didn't catch one. So then you kind of eliminate that dock in your head, but just because you didn't catch one on it doesn't mean that that dock's no good. So what happens in tournament time, you end up riding around, and because you didn't get bit on that dock, you're saying, man, you ought to go fish that dock. And your instincts are saying, go fish it, Dave, go fish it, Dave. But because I over-practiced and because I fished that dock at that time and didn't get bit, it's hard for me to turn the boat over there and go fish it when instinctively it's saying go fish it. So what I've done is I've elected not to practice much, just to let my instincts take over during the tournament and let my, you know, basically, it's all built on instincts, and let it take over.
Well, you know, let's kind of go down that road a little bit. You know, you had a certain dock pattern that you were fishing in your home lake there, and as you went in there, you found an area where the fish were staying. You know, the bigger docks you mentioned, and you mentioned a lot of the things that you saw there, the bigger docks with a lot of shade on them. How about deep water near? Was there anything like that going on as well?
No, I didn't care. I really don't. You know, it's all I was looking for is shade. I could care less whether the dock had 10 foot in the front of it, you know, or 30 foot in the front of the dock that went, you know, all the way up to the bank. I don't care. Whether it's 10 foot, think of it this way. Whether it's 10 foot in the front or 30 foot in the front, most of the fish were in about 3 to 5 foot of water. So wherever that 3 to 5 foot depth range was on that dock with shade, that's where I concentrated at. You know, so there was plenty of docks that had shade in 30 foot of water, but I would analyze the dock on every one that I would approach and say, okay, the 3 to 5 foot range on this dock is probably midways, and that's where I'd make my two casts. If they didn't have it, I'd go to the next one.
Well, you know, you talk about bait selection, too. I know you were skipping a bait under the docks a lot of times. Are you talking about metal docks, concrete, wood docks? What are you looking at? What were the ones that really held the fish?
You know, there's some metal docks here, but most, probably at least 80% of these docks are all wood pilings. And I really didn't key on wood docks versus metal docks. You know, it really didn't make a difference to me. The biggest key was the shade. They wanted, you know, the shade, or, you know, they were sitting back up underneath the docks. And that's, I don't care. I wasn't prejudiced when it came to docks.
Well, it paid out real well for you. You know, the ambush points, you know, that shade you talk about, you know, they're sitting there looking at using that sun in front of them as an ambush point, trying to get to the deepest part of the dock. Let's talk about techniques and some of the tackle you use to be able to catch those fish.
Yeah, I was using a 7-foot helium action extra heavy rod with Berkeley Trilene XT, 17-pound test on a jig, and 10-pound test on the spinning reel. I used the Dave's Tournament Tackle, Fat Man's Jig, and the jig was like a brownish color. And Zoom came out with a new color. It's called Green Pumpkin Blue. And I didn't get them but before the night before the tournament, and I ended up throwing them. It looked so pretty, I threw it the first day of the tournament, and I never caught a fish on that color before in my life. And it seemed to have made a difference. And, you know, that was pretty much the baits I was throwing. It was a Zoom trick worm, a Dave's Tournament tackle jig, Kistler Sealer extra heavy helium series rod, and Berkeley Trilene XT was the equipment that I used.
Now, what pound test did you use line-wise?
17 on the jig and 10-pound test on the spinning rods. And, you know, and I will have to say that skipping played a big factor in it. And, you know, with the Ranger boat, the way they're designed, they sit so perfect on the water that it helped me skip the jig up there as far as I could.
Well, you know, a lot of people may not know the skipping technique. You usually use it on a spinning rod, and the ability to be able to get a bait in maybe a place you couldn't flip it or pitch it, you can actually zip that bait underneath there, skip it across the top of the water. It also maybe mimics a shad, doesn't it?
Yeah, you know, the thing is there's so much shade up underneath that dock that you don't ever, it's not like you ever see crawdads skipping across the water like you would a shad, but the purpose of skipping, and I think what helps a lot versus, like, say if you pitched it under there and made your little quiet presentation and it went down to the bottom, say if you did that, you didn't, say if that bass was sitting 10 foot deeper in that dock, he didn't hear that jig or he didn't see that jig fall in the water. Now, when you skip it underneath there, it ticks across the whole shaded area, and that draws attention to that bass, and when he sees that, he's swim over there to investigate and out of curiosity to see what's going on, and that's how you attract a lot more bites by skipping versus flipping.
Well, you know, it's very rare that an angler comes into a tournament like an open or, you know, in the fall of the year. The neat thing about the opens is they are in the fall of the year. You get to fish in prime time, but not very many people lead from beginning to end, and you did that pretty well. Now, it's your home body of water, but again, you know, you got a lot of competition out there, too, and a lot of guys working just as hard as you are to try to win that tournament.
Yeah, and especially in this tournament, you know, I was very fortunate to have won this tournament, and it is extremely hard to win a tournament from beginning to end. Coming into this tournament, I think one of the things that enabled me, when you deal with the class of fishermen that fishes the Opens or the FLW or Bass or whoever, you know, when it comes to dock fishing, you know, it's not like every angler out there can do fairly well at it. But I think what was the biggest key for me to maintain the win and come away with the win is being mentally tough, because you kept hearing all this negativity about, I ain't getting but 2 bites a day, 3 bites a day. And when you start developing a bad attitude about fishing, then you're mentally breaking yourself down. And part of part of the reason for me not practicing is so I wouldn't get a bad attitude. Almost like I did with the championship, that FLW championship, I elected not to practice much in that. You know, a lot of that is so you don't develop a bad attitude about fishing. So come tournament time, I was positive, I was mentally strong, and because I'm telling you, the devil will play with you bad when you're not getting many bites, and he can talk to your head. But just being mentally tough throughout the years in my career and what I've gone through is helps out a lot when you're put in them situations.
Well, I tell you what, David, you just keep winning. You know, it seems like we've had you on Bass Fan a lot here recently. Just had a nice article on sponsorships that you did, and then I turn around and you win the Open. So thanks for being with us here at Bass Fan Radio.
Yeah, and I want to mention, too, that without Castrol backing me up this, you know, the last 3 or 4 years, Ranger, Kistler, and Zoom, and Yamaha, I tell you, they are products that I believe in, and if anybody wants the best, I think they should pursue them.
I'm Terry Brown, and this is Bass Fan Radio.